Podcast, and today we're doing another interview series with Randy Collum. And so Cindy is behind the camera, and so Randy, thanks for sitting down with us. And so we're just going to have a conversation, but at first, take a moment, introduce yourself and your family, and where we are.
Okay, I'm Randy, and we are at the Antioch Church of Christ in Blue Springs, Mississippi. Just so you know, there is at least one Antioch Church of Christ in every county in Mississippi. I don't know that exactly to be a fact, but I'm waiting for somebody to prove me wrong. But we are just outside of Tupelo. It's probably the best way to find us. I grew up in South Haven, Mississippi. You know, B.J. Clark as my preacher. And so a lot of the things that I've carried with me came from him. It's where my wife and I got married, Amy, and I have been married for a long time. And we've got two girls that are both grown. One's married now and lives down in Starkville, and the other one is with us right now, just graduated from Freed Hardeman. And so we've been here since, this is November. We started the 1st of January here. Got here kind of from already being in the area. I was the director of the Pineville Children's Home in Corinth, Mississippi for about 7 years. And decided to step away from that work and ended up trying to find a way back into just regular full-time local work. And they were gracious enough to accept me here.
And I know that's a much needed work, but certainly difficult work. And of course, I'm glad you're back in the pulpit. And with your talent, you need to be. And so thankful for that. But you and I met at Memphis School of Preaching, mm-hmm. obviously. And so tell us a little bit about your time, the year you graduated, because I know you're behind me. But
yes, we both went through, as we mentioned the other day, we went through a little later in life.
Yeah.
And I think that was a great advantage. Mm-hmm. We had several guys in our class that came right out of high school and went, and many of them are still preaching. They're still staying with it. I had another whole career before I came there. Mm-hmm. But that's helped me, you know, helped me through school, helped me kind of weather some of that stress, knowing how to handle the stress of going through school. I didn't realize just how tough it was until after I was already out of it.
Yeah.
I decided to kind of continue some of my education going to Ambridge and ended up with a paper degree, as Brother Cates told us to put in our bottom drawer. And I did, like Keith said, I got it in something other than Bible. But while I was there, I started, you know, looking to take the classes, and it's like, okay, I'm going to take 10, 12 hours, you know, look at maybe 15 hours one semester. And I said something about, well, how many hours were we taking at Memphis? And it's like, well, you're taking 30 hours a semester. And I said, well, no wonder I was so tired all the time. But, you know, I always said that what that helped you do is obviously when we get out of school, and especially if you end up at a smaller congregation like, you know, Antioch is, you wear so many different hats.
Sure.
You really don't slow down. Now you have to learn how not to dump all of your energy on one thing or one group of people thinking that they need to be running the same speed you're running. But if you divide that up, mm-hmm. just run that same speed you were running in school, then that's really helpful. Not only have they taught us how to study and how to, you know, learn for ourselves, but they taught us how to constantly be working on something for the good of whatever was coming next.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it. I know there's other, at least they tell me there's other good preaching schools out there. But, you know, having grown up in South Haven and knowing the school for so many years, it's the caliber of the instructors that I knew and knew what they had, knew what they where they stood, that really put them above any other school I even knew of. Yeah. So,
is there a particular, you know, when I think of you know, our time, when I think of the time in school, I know there's a lot of fond memories, certainly, you know, and we have some great instructors that have now gone on to their reward, and so certainly it's hard not to think about our time with them, you know, as a highlight. You know, we were drinking from the water hose or the fire hose, you know, fire hydrant, so to speak. I mean, it was coming at us fast, like you say, and we were just trying to keep up, you know, keep our head above water, so to speak. But there was a lot of good times. Maybe you have a highlight you want to share during your time.
The best times for us and really revolved around the instructors.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thankful for the camaraderie we had coming out. But to just sit there and hear their life lessons. And that's the thing, you know, even being fully involved, you know, I was a deacon at South Haven, all kind of elders and deacons meetings, and been in the church, you know, pretty much my entire life. I've never really stepped away officially. But to hear the things that they dealt with and the way they dealt with them,
mm-hmm.
And to know ahead of time, that's what we're going to face. You know, I find that a lot in the epistles of Paul, that he tells them, this is what I'm going through. This is what you're going to go through. Be ready for this.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of that message that we got in school too. Mm-hmm. And so the fact, probably some of the best times were sitting in the break room with one of the instructors sitting there just talking about, you know, what they would face and what they've been through.
Yeah. And I think about Brother Elkins is talking about, you know, he was going to visit, you know, a brother who worked or owned a furniture store or something like that. And I don't remember if he told you that story or not, but anyway, you know, somebody coming in and kind of being belligerent, you know, with him, and it was a preacher from the area or whatever. And you know, basically pushed Brother Elkins, you know, and he was like back on a couch that was like right behind him, you know, or whatever. Like he had stood up, you know, and was talking, and the guy actually pushed him, you know, and he sat back down basically on the couch, and it almost bounced him right back up in front of the guy, you know, and he kind of shocked, you know, or whatever. And then the guy left, you know, right after that, you know, and I could just see Brother Elkins, you know.
Well, you know, he was always known for his aggressive nature, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, just standing toe to toe with somebody that in that way. But so that just, you know, it just stuck in my mind. But, you know, all those stories that they shared with us, though, they do, they prepare you, but they also let you know, that this, you know, you're not alone in this work. And so let's think about the work for just, let's talk about Antioch for a moment. I know there's a good bit going on. You know, there's a smaller congregation, but you know, we've been here this week doing a gospel meeting. And so it's been good to get to know the members here, you know, and they seem excited about the work. And most of them, you can tell this is a family oriented congregation. Much. And so there's a lot of families that are here that have grown up here. And so, you know, as we've been traveling about, that's, you know, sometimes you'll find that, or sometimes you find a very transient congregation, you know, where nobody grew up here, yeah. You know, it's completely different, you know, and so it's always neat to walk into a congregation, especially those that have roots here. And so, but just talk about the work here and maybe some of the areas of focus, you know, for the work now.
Well, and it's like any congregation, really, you want to have something for everyone to feel like they're a part of.
Mm.
You know, belonging is perhaps one of the most difficult mental aspects to fully grasp. Everybody wants to belong. In fact, we talk about peer pressure all the time and the negative mm-hmm. standpoint, but we want to have positive peer pressure as well. We want you know, everyone to feel like they have a place, and not just have a place, but that they are responsible. That they have a value, so that, and in fact, I think that sometimes where we lose some of our young people is church is the place that they go. It's not
right.
Their, and I know when we use the term wrong, it's not their church,
right.
But this congregation, as using church that way, this is their church.
Mm-hmm.
And if they feel like, they should feel like if they're not there, because what's the question? Well, do I have to go?
Right.
It's like, I don't feel like I need to go. Well, but they need you to be there. And
right.
Until we can get that mindset in their heads. And so that's what I've tried to do, you know, particularly with the younger group. We've got a great age range, even mm-hmm. for a small congregation. And this summer we spent, I had Fridays on fire this mm-hmm. summer. I told them it's going to be like a day at camp, except for I'm not going to get you out of bed and feed you breakfast, and I'm not putting you to bed at night. I said, you just show up and we're going to have projects that we do. Some of those were organizing some of this library we're sitting in. We started house to house, heart to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a monthly printout of those that have moved into the area. Probably seen that through house to house, heart to heart. And we put together care packages for those, baked muffins for them fresh, mm-hmm. put them in these boxes and put information and all loaded up in the van in the afternoon and took them out, delivered them to the people that had moved in the area. And then when the feedback came back from those, we made sure the kids knew about that.
Yeah.
You did that.
That's right.
That's you supporting this congregation. Because we've got individuals here that they're not going anywhere else. They're going to be here
right.
every time the doors are open. So young people that we're trying to bring along to get interested in the work of the church, to be the next set of preachers,
sure.
you know, that are involved in this. Because we talk about them being the future, but they're the now.
Yeah.
And so I focus, and then of course my work in the children's home, you know, my mind's, you know, I'm not like most 40-year-olds. I'm not like most teenagers. I'm in my late 40s. So I try to think like they do and keep them engaged in that.
Yeah, that's good. Is there a difficulty with the work of the church in this area? I know there's a lot of good congregations, certainly in Tupelo, and we're yes. outside of Tupelo, 15 minutes maybe or so.
Right.
But I know there's a lot of congregations, you know, in the area, you'd say, you know, within a 30-minute driving distance, you know. But is there a particular difficulty, you know, kind of, I guess, where you're located?
Sure. I mean, it's the same that I've seen elsewhere. The larger congregations have the more children and the more involvement.
Sure.
And so you'll have people drive past you to get there.
Yeah.
But also we are kind of spread out here. Mm-hmm. And this particular community, you'd have a hard time buying a house here. Mm-hmm. The houses don't go up for sale very often.
Yeah.
And when they do, somebody's ready to snatch them up, which means that there's a lot of family lines all through the community that are connected somewhere other than here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to break into those family traditions mm-hmm. of, no, this is where we go. This is where my grandfather went.
Right.
You know, my great grandfather helped build it. And even if you show them the truth, they're not, you know, very hesitant to break that out. So, and then of course it's just getting in their homes, because there's not a central congregating place where you can find multiple individuals. And so we've started the house to house, you know, monthly newsletter, and we've sent that out. And we talked about how that's our stepping stone. You know, I want them to see that be in their face every month. And then, you know, we've been doing that, I guess, about 8 months now. And so somewhere in the spring, we'll start trying to follow up on a lot of that with, you know, hey, we're the people who send you this. What do you think about it? And that be our next stepping stone of trying to grow the congregation, so that, you know, we have something other than just reproducing ourselves.
Right. And the nice thing with House to House is I know that they are also not just sending out a monthly publication, but they're actually trying to target, you know, with different themes
right.
in different months and stuff like that too. So I've noticed that over the last couple of years, and kind of breaking the mold of what has been, you know, they would do that maybe one time a year, or every other year they would try to do a themed
right.
type of something, but it seems like they're doing that a little bit more. And so it'll hopefully spark some conversation when you do finally, you know, get to that door,
right.
you know, you say, hey, you're the church sending that mailer out, you know.
And it's quality stuff.
It is great.
It's hard to ignore yeah. the quality that they put out.
Yeah, 100% agree. Because of the work with 416, you know, we're obviously trying to encourage preachers and to encourage and build up congregations. And so we've been trying to ask the question, you know, is there something that, you know, in your life as a minister, as a preacher, or even before that, as a Christian, and you also have served as a deacon, I know at South Haven as well. Is there something in particular that, you know, when you were going through a tough time or you were discouraged in the work in particular, was there something that helped you kind of press on and push on through that?
Well, and a lot of it's self-reflection for me. And part of that, you know, before I went to preaching school, I was a salesman. I sold industrial electrical supplies. And of course, that involves going into people you don't know and learning the people.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know my products and I got to, you know what to help them. But before I know how to help them, I have to understand them.
Right.
And in fact, we mentioned the faith stages mm-hmm. conversation
yeah.
at school. And that's one that turns over in my mind all the time, because chances are when I'm discouraged, it's because I had an expectation from somebody else and they're not where I think they need to be. And the hardest thing I ever had to swallow when we learned about the faith stages was, I can't move them.
Yeah.
That was it. No matter what I do, I can't move them. Something in their life is going to have to happen before they will move to whatever that next stage of faith is. And then the other part that you have to swallow is they can still go to heaven from that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so that self-realization, and that doesn't mean I don't encourage, exhort,
right.
Rebuke right. if we need to, but having an understanding that they're not always going to respond the way I want them to, all that they can be in Christ.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I go over in those times.
Yeah, and watching people in those situations, that is difficult. You want to do it for them,
yes.
But that's just like, our children too, you kind of have to, you show them the way, you can teach them the way, they still have to do the things,
Right.
And so that's important. I know Cindy probably has a question that she'd like to throw to you also.
An extra.
Okay.
So mine's usually about coffee or something like that. We just went to a coffee shop down the road.
Hmm.
So if someone was coming into town and they were looking for a coffee shop, what would you recommend?
I'd recommend Columns Cafe.
That's a good one.
I would recommend you sit at my table and yeah. I'll brew you up a pot of coffee.
And we did that last night with y'all, and it was very enjoyable.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
And if we know you're coming, I promise there'll be something sweet to go along with it.
Yes. Chocolate cake?
Yes.
Oh, it was good.
While I obviously love to gather together to worship, I think probably one of the things the church misses out on in our society today is the fellowship and I'm not talking about the fellowship meal. We've enjoyed plenty of those this week.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
but the outside of an official called gathering,
mm-hmm.
the camaraderie with one another.
Yeah.
And if you have that, and you really feel like that's when you can start working. Women, they say, bond knee to knee, and men bond shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You come together and you've got work to do.
Yeah.
And you sit down next to each other and you figure out what that's going to be and you work it out. So my door and my coffee pot is always on. And so I welcome anybody to come and sit down at Column Cafe.
And we thoroughly enjoyed that time last night. That was wonderful.
Yes.
Appreciate y'all.
And we got to shout at the TV a little bit, wonder why they weren't calling the states yet. But we're not going to go there right now. So, but it was a good time. So
yes.
it was. And thank you for having us. And thank you for sitting down with us and just having the chat with us. And I thank you for tuning in. This is another 416 podcast, the interview series. We'll see you further down the road.